Welcome to those who are with us today by live stream. Deeply grateful that you've made the time to be with us. I have a word for you, and I'll need it in a few minutes, and I need everybody to be able to say it all at the same time. And the word is gestation. You ready? I mean, let's just go to the guts of it. Together, gestation. So when I forget and I ask you, I need everybody to say it together. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, particularly regarding one's ego in the middle of Lent and the most recent appointment and duties that, as some of you can see in the bulletin. And you know, there's always balance in life. And Joyce and I were at medical appointments, and believe me, these days my medical appointments slam my ego. I got a doctor I've known for 30 years. My greetings to Mark this morning. And he is absolutely fabulous, but I really wish he would sugarcoat it. You know, say something nice before he tells me what he really thinks. Takes out his script pad. Feels like that, I'll tell you. So after the doctor's appointment, I needed some fries and gravy. I mean, it was just one of those moments where I needed to go out and be bad. And so we arrive at the restaurant, we invite one of our friends to join us. We have a wonderful lunch together. Near the end of the lunch, this little old lady approaches the table and turns to our friends and says, "Hi, how are you?" She was very sweet, very kind, and they chatted for a little while, and eventually our friends said, "Hey, do you know Joyce and Stephen Hendry?" And she looked at me for the longest time and walked away. She was gone 5 or 6 minutes, and she came back and she looked at me and she said, "Hendry, Hendry, 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 Stephen, Stephen, Hendry. Oh yeah, the preacher, the Anglican priest." I said, yes, ma'am. She said, "I didn't recognize you. You used to be really thin." And she walked away. Joyce said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I'm finishing my fries." Ego. Ego can drive us to make decisions, good decisions and not so healthy decisions. It can prevent us from doing things that are absolutely essential in our lives. So let me tell you about a guy in the gospel. His name's Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is bright, talented, gifted, popular. He's a successful politician. He's involved in his worship community. And he is well-liked and well-respected. And the only problem was his ego kept getting in the way of making the most fundamental decision of his life, his faith. To live that faith. Here's the problem. There are several of us in this room who are very much the mentality that Nicodemus had. My faith is a private matter. I go to church, I help out, I contribute significantly, but I'd rather my neighbors didn't know I believed in Jesus. And I sure don't want it known in the marketplace or even in the job situation. Now, I'm not saying all Anglicans are like this. I'm just saying there's a few of us that have struggled during our lifetime to come to terms with who we are and what we believe in. We call it the dark night of the soul. And I want to venture and say that 90% of us have been through the dark night of the soul. Sometimes it functions as anxiety, sometimes it's depression, sometimes it's a frustration and a feeling lost and confused. Sometimes it's that we're just a little off balance, but other times our world goes black. We can't see a thing, and we're not sure where we're going. And Nicodemus was having one of those moments. Despite all of his success, dare I say, all of his titles, he had come to a crossroads in his life, and he wasn't sure where he was going next. And so he booked an appointment with Jesus. The commentaries talk about this booking of an appointment as Jesus knew he was coming, and boy, was he ready for him. And Nicodemus decided that he would go at night. Not only was his soul in a dark place and his mind in a dark place, but he was hiding his true life, hiding it. There's a distinct possibility that he was a faithful person, but he didn't want anyone to know it. The problem with that is that Jesus knew it too. And so Nicodemus went out in the middle of the night, knocked on the door, Jesus let him in, and they begin to have this conversation. And this is the conversation. Are you ready? Okay, I'm sorry. I must have put a few of you asleep already. The conversation is about?
Gestation.
There it is. It's a spiritual gestation. Jesus says, in order for you to get what you want, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, listen, you. How silly is that? I'm old. Apparently, I used to be thinner. How am I going to do that? So Jesus repeats it in two or three different ways. He talks about being born from above, the power of the Holy Spirit to transform someone's life, the opportunity to be born anew, to be born different, to be born fresh. But what he's really getting at is... That was better. What he's really saying to him is, you are a believer in the midst of a spiritual gestation, forming, becoming, growing, getting ready. But now it's time to be pushed out the birth canal and live your life to its fullest. In the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ, everywhere you go and everything you think and everything you believe. And some would say that Nick said, it's late, I gotta go. But others would say it was too much for him. I need to keep it private. I need to keep it alone. I need to keep it just between me and God. And we'll just keep struggling even though I'm not sure who I am anymore. And he laughed. Now, for some, that would be the end of the homily. He laughed. But the truth is, Nicodemus is more Anglican than you know. Because he never stopped thinking about it. He never stopped praying about it. It never stopped growing inside of him. And we know that because a little later in the scripture, there's a group of the Pharisees and Sadducees having an argument about Jesus, and Nicodemus steps forward and protects Jesus in the argument. You don't walk into a group of people that have power over you and witness to Christ unless you are growing in your own faith in Christ. And then we know after the death of Jesus, one of the people that came together when it was politically incorrect to be around the body of Jesus was Nicodemus. And he brought the frankincense and myrrh and all the tools for burial. You don't enter into that level of intimacy with a body if you don't believe in the soul. We know that Nicodemus was on his way. Here's the great thing about being Anglican. We've been told all of our lives that it's a life journey. It's not just a moment. You don't just have a moment where you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's more than that. You choose to read and incorporate everything he says and does in your life, one day at a time. One day at a time. That is our journey. A life journey of faith and acceptance and embracing the mission and the purpose of Jesus Christ. So if you've never heard it before, today is really about opening your mind and your heart to the new possibilities that Jesus is calling you. The saddest thing we can say is, we do enough here. We don't do enough here. We're in the middle on a journey of things that we could be doing to witness the light of Christ in a very dark world filled with shadows and uncertainty. So this week, I want to invite you to consider in a new way who you are in Christ and who you may be willing to share that journey with. It is a calling. It's an invitation to move from gestation of the Spirit to the birth of the Spirit in a new way during this Lenten season. Amen.